heading back to the barn. Get in that old wooden wagon there, Tom. Head on up there. That's Patrick the horse, and he's sitting right beside you. We've been spreading news and opinion now for 2 hours. Boy, am I tired.
Short on news, heavy on opinion.
Always, eh? Keep the ball in the air.
That's right.
Don't go and whip me. Yeah, like that. All right, lots of news to get to. Plus, also, you know, when you meet people and you're like, hey, you know what? I do the show on Cairo Radio. You should come by and listen. Yeah. Or come by and visit. See how we do it. When you make that offer to people.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sounds like a great idea. They never take you up on it.
That's right.
So I met that guy on my way to go see David Blaine. I said, hey. Yeah, Valley. Yeah. And then I played a song for him. And I said, hey, if you ever want to come by. He goes, okay, see you tomorrow. He's coming in about 5 minutes.
He is.
Sit here and watch.
He's going to witness the know-it-all quiz.
I tell you something, Tom. I'm looking at the stories like, how many of these are exciting? Let's just take care of the first one. Ready? Should the Seattle sell public land? They got a whole bunch of land. There's a bunch of restrictions that they place on themselves regarding land that they need to get rid of. And it has to meet a certain criteria. Like, for instance, if we're going to sell this public land, we keep the public land or sell the public land.
Yeah.
Do we get rid of it and get the cash for it? There's one particular piece that's up there near Harborview. They think it's worth in the open market about $100 million.
Yeah.
Should the city hold on to the land because not making more land
and
build affordable housing on that? Or do you sell it to a developer that will make affordable housing?
So right now there is a lot of land that it's up for sale from Seattle Public Housing. Seattle Housing Authority, sorry. And the reason they're selling this land, because they are doing this total redevelopment of Yesler Terrace. And because of that, in order to pay for that, they figured, well, we'll sell some land that isn't used near there, and we'll use that money to fix up Yesler Terrace, which sounds like, okay, good. You want to redevelop that land? We've got land that can give us the money to do that. Okay, that sounds like a fair deal. To the credit of the local hotel developer, we did a story a couple of days ago after Seattle Times profiled him, who's saying he raises a bunch of questions about how the city is operating. He says, for one, why are we trying to sell this lot of land?
Mm-hmm.
If the whole point is we're trying to build a lot more affordable housing, then there's nothing more expensive than land. Wouldn't it be cheaper if we just build affordable housing on the land the city already owns?
Sure.
And so now you've got
brilliant
Teresa Mosqueda from the Seattle City Council saying, I think that we should, you know, call a moratorium on selling public land, that we need to give this more consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those examples of City Hall. They're different departments, and they see the benefits. From the Seattle Housing Authority, they say, okay, well, in our jurisdiction, this makes sense because we're fixing up Yesler Terrace. And now there's another reason to maybe that should be trumped by something else. So the city council is looking seriously at that, and I think that's probably a smart idea. Right now, given the way things are going in Seattle, that plot of land may be worth more next year than it is right now even. And it could be the perfect – if we have to buy land for more affordable housing, what the heck? Maybe we just keep the land we already own.
Plus, it's difficult when the government goes to buy land because they can't – they only are able to spend it a certain amount. The developer can always outbid the thing.
Yes.
They're limited to the value of the land as appraisal.
Yes.
Depending on what cities, normally it's like appraisal plus 10%. You can't get into a bidding war.
Yeah. Now, why do we have that law in effect? Just to make sure, is it a way to keep government costs down or something?
But well, the developer kind of just keeps running it up, and you know they're competing against bottomless pit as far as money, as the government takes more and more, and it really doesn't have to be accountable for a budget. How about the lawyer that walked into a restaurant in New York? Now, apparently, if you do, like, prior to this guy having this rant caught on video, he's a lawyer, and on his website, he says, hey, we speak Spanish, so if you have any problems, and I can I'm fluent in Spanish, as a matter of fact.
Is that right?
So he sort of promoted himself.
Really?
That was on the website.
Wow.
Okay, and he was somebody that was renting a space and some office space in this building
in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is not a kind of a two-bit lawyer.
No.
You know?
His parents are proud. He went to law school, did pretty well for himself. He walks into this restaurant, and he's got a problem. I think he's just having a bad day.
Okay.
And he hears some of the employees there speaking Spanish, and people have probably already heard this. It's now been shared more than 7 million times.
They're not documented. So my next call is to ICE to have each one of them kicked out of my country. If they have the balls to come here and live off of my money, I pay for their welfare. I pay for their ability to be here.
Maybe you shouldn't eat that sandwich today. Take a break from the food.
Maybe you should get hit by the car, you piece of
Okay. Wow. That's nice. New York City, midday. He's upset because in Midtown, you shouldn't have Spanish-speaking people working at the restaurant.
Yeah. Now, it was a customer who was speaking Spanish to a wait staff that also speaks Spanish. So it wasn't like the wait staff was sort of like, you know, being impolite. They were actually talking to a customer who happened to be speaking
in Spanish
with them. Yes,
all right.
Okay.
So apparently he wasn't having one bad day, because once the internet finds you, then there's always somebody sitting around in their underwear and they find this. This goes back to 2016. Same guy, same lawyer, bumps into a guy in the streets of New York and starts yelling.
What country are you from?
Who are you?
I'm going to call the police. You don't run into people. I'm a citizen here. You're not. You're an ugly foreigner. So you.
I don't know this guy at all. I don't know this guy at all.
Let me get a quick picture.
Don't worry, dude. I've got you on video.
I'm allowed to walk on the wrong side of the street.
This guy literally just ran into me and is going crazy.
I thought he was a friend of yours.
I thought he was a friend of yours.
He was walking on the wrong side of the street?
I don't know. I mean, because he ran into this guy.
Yeah.
And that guy sat on that that audio or video for 2 years, and then he realized he can cash in maybe now on it. So
now that the news is that the people that he was renting his office space from have thrown him out.
That's right. And there have been a couple of state legislators who would just say, have recommended that the bar, in effect, there's a fancy long title for it, but in effect, the Bar Association should look at revoking this guy's right to practice law if this is something that he does on a regular basis. I don't know what kind of restrictions lawyers have in the New York jurisdiction, but they said that this might be seen as unprofessional enough to disbar him.
But why break the tenant lease? Because there must be something in there that allows the people that own the building to throw you out because of the fact that you're saying racist things.
I don't know. Maybe they don't. It doesn't fit the tenor of the their corporation.
How does he come back from something like this?
Well, I mean, it's easy, John. I think you just go. You have another viral apology.
You
apologize it. You show yourself working in a Spanish speaking community, at a food bank or something, doing some generous. I mean, you can. He's a smart enough guy. I mean, now if he's a really as deep seated racist as his rhetoric may make him seem, he may not would ever do that. But if this is just sort of like he's having a bad day, he's just sort of and he pulls the racist card just for no good reason. He realizes, I'm a terrible human being for doing that. Then he can reform himself. And I think. 2 years from now, we'll be able to say, remember that guy?
Yeah,
we'll look at him now.
How can you live in New York City and have a problem with different races? I mean, the whole place, it is a true melting pot.
Yes.
Everywhere you walk, there's always somebody somewhere. You got some sort of problem. Most people that I find have spent either living there or going back to visit, most people get along. There's a certain level of behavior that people will be okay with. Other parts of behavior, normally the crowd begins to react to, and people sort of shut it down pretty fast. That's the thing about New York. Like on a subway, people behave themselves because there's a certain set of,
expectations.
Decorum. And then it's like, hey, buddy, buddy, that ain't cool. And then other people, hey, buddy, that ain't cool. They're quick to give you the hey, that ain't cool move. let's see. Speaking of ain't cool, there's a lot of folks that are pro-abortion that are very upset because, just as he said when he was running for office, he wants to get public money out of the abortion business. And Donald Trump has set out the word regarding this is for people that are seeking some type of abortion counseling or health counseling. There has been a change that is now being implemented across the country.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this, just to give you a quick little history, in the Reagan era, they imposed this, and that is that if you're receiving federal funds at a family planning clinic, you cannot mention abortion. That's not something that you should talk about. And there were a lot of protests about that, saying you can't do that. But the Supreme Court ruled that it is within the president's prerogative to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So when Bill Clinton came into power, he changed the directive.
Yes.
And it had been the same ever since, which is that you're allowed to speak, you know, to talk about every option from, you know, from keeping the baby to aborting the baby.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. And so what Trump is
don't
just,
call it a baby, Tom. When you talk about abortion, don't call it a baby.
What Trump is now doing is going back to the Reagan era directive, which says that you can't bring it up. They depending on how you see it, it's like a gag rule. The opponents of what Trump is doing considered a gag rule. But the idea is that it's not, you are no longer, you no longer have to mention abortion as a right. They're also, he's adding a thing where you can't have the federally funded family planning clinic in the same building as something that offers abortion services.
Right. So when he ran for office, what he promised to was sort of disentangle taxpayers from the abortion business, because there was supposed to be the Hyde Amendment, which basically says no tax dollars can go directly towards that of abortion, right?
Yeah.
So this is just one more step of getting in there and trying to create some sort of break. It'll be challenged in court. I'm sure people have already filed against him in the last 20 minutes.
It may be. What's interesting is that he feels like this is worth – one of the interesting things I thought about his next move in terms of the elections – he has decided to make the culture wars his bread and butter.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of Republicans, and again, Republicans as opposed to Trump Republicans, who feel like, let's just run on the economy. We can win on the economy. But they say he is so devoted to his base. He realizes that my base is not about Republican economics. My base is about the social wars that we're having. And because of that, he is doing something like this, moving on Planned Parenthood, even though the Republicans couldn't get restricting Planned Parenthood funding out of the government.
There's a guy who's in trouble with American Airlines. By the way, Valley is here. My guy that I met on the street
said,
hey, come in and watch.
Okay.
And he took me up on the offer.
All right. So he really isn't here. That's great.
Yeah. Do you want to go to traffic or not?
Go out with it.
Okay. What do you mean go out with it? What'd you say?
Out of the segment.
Oh, okay, fine.
Okay.
We're behind the scenes here, Tom.
Yes, I guess so.
There's a guy who's sitting in first class,
yes,
and his buddy's sitting back in coach, and he's flying on American Airlines. And in first class, the booze is free. Well, not free. You paid $2,000 to sit in the seat while everybody else behind you, 4 feet away, paid $198. Hey, I'm drinking for free. Look at me. So he's on the plane, and he gets a couple of drinks, and he has one, and then he figures, hey, you know what? My buddy's back there should have some of these. So he slips them back, and they get themselves a couple of gin and tonics or something, and then the guy ends up getting thrown off the plane.
Yeah, that's right. And this has absolutely no resonance for anyone on the planet, practically, except for John Curley.
My thing is, when I sit in 1A on Alaska Airlines, God love them, people will walk by, and some people give me the stink eye.
They do?
Oh, yeah. And then other people are like, hey, I love the show.
Yeah, like, okay.
And I'm like, oh, good. And they're like, hey, where's Tom? I'll get that a lot. Where's Tom? I said, you think Tom's sitting in first class? And they're like, is Tom back here?
Yeah,
I said,
right.
No, Tom's not back there. Tom's on a bus. So then what I'll do is I'll say as they're walking by, if I get a chance to have a conversation with them, because normally the line is sort of slow, I'll say, well, where are you seated? They'll say, well, I'm in 13D. I'm like, oh, okay. And then the flight attendants will do this for me. I don't want to get anybody in trouble at Alaska Airlines. I'll say, hey, can you take a beer back to 13B? So it's my way of sort of, you know, let them eat cake. Let them have a little something. And I have taken the white napkin and covered a beer with it, light beer in a can, and taken it back and given it. Because sometimes you don't want people seeing you bringing it back.
So,
but apparently, I didn't know if you sneak alcohol back to coach, you can get in trouble.
So I want to test you on this. Do you know what a PDB is?
PDB. No, what is that?
This guy ordered two PDBs. Is that some new kind of ale?
Hatch Blue Ribbon?
It's pre-departure beverages. PD. So he ordered two, claiming it was for the woman, you know, sitting next to him.
Okay.
And then he took the two PDBs and was walking back into second, you know, class where the rest of us sit. And he was stopped by a flight attendant. He said, no, I'm just coming back here to use the restroom. I don't want to use the restroom in first class, as he's holding two glasses of alcohol in his hands. I said, hey, buddy. And so anyway.
They considered him to be a confrontational customer passenger, so that's why they asked him to leave.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they maybe use that as an excuse. But I mean, I think that's a little severe. I think they should just knock it off. Or they could, you know, just, you know, I'm sorry, sir, we're going to have to charge you for those drinks. Anyway, just a funny story, because I didn't even know people could do that. I thought that barrier between the front, the first class and the back class, that you guys weren't even allowed to enter our domain.
Well, it is weird, isn't it, that
because we can't enter yours.
No, no.
I know.
The strange thing is, like, I can use my bathroom,
yeah.
But you can't.
Yeah, yes.
But then I can use your bathroom.
You can wander down because there's so many more. Yeah, because we'd be privileged. Oh, look at God, John Curley's coming into our section.
By the way, if you do, Alaska doesn't do what are they called?
PDBs.
They don't do it in Alaska.
Pre-departure beverages.
But on Delta. Oh, okay. So here's the rule. When Delta is at the gate, they give you cheaper wine because they pay tax on it. But once you get into the air, they don't pay the tax on it, so they give you better wine.
Oh, is that right?
Isn't that? There you go.
There's a valuable piece of useful information. Yeah. As soon as I get my first million, I'll be able to use it.
Oh, my. Let's see. We want to get to the fact we got the know-it-all quiz coming up. Here's how this works. Tom and I are going to read for you five stories we've covered. And these are actual stories. Now, there's one answer we give you A, B, and C. The other two are supposed to be jokes, but I got to tell you, I didn't get my sleep last night because I went to this. I joined this all men's club. It literally is an all men's club, Tom.
Why would you do that?
Free booze.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, and I don't have enough friends, so I thought I'll pay $1,200 a year to join a club.
Is it politically tinged?
Okay. Incorrect.
Yeah, I see.
It's an all men's club in Seattle for rich guys, Tom. What do you think?
Well. And their and sexuality, is that an
issue? They're not big fans of yours. I'll tell you that right. Everybody, hey, keep giving it to Tom. Like, oh my. All right, so here's what happens. We're gonna get you on the phone. You're gonna call 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476. And you get a chance to play for the Know It All quiz. It's going to be two tickets to the Mariners game coming up this Sunday. If you can't win, if you can't go, don't win. Let somebody else jump in there and get those tickets. 1-888-973-5476. Tell you what, we'll have Valley, our rapper that I met on the street, we'll have him help the person on the phone.
Perfect.
Okay, that all works.
All right.
So, one more time. 1-888-973-5476. Yeah, here we go. Michael Shue Bingo. Proud to bring you the Know It All quiz. This is where I ask five questions of one listener, and all they have to do is remain conscious for 6 minutes on the phone.
That's all right. Stay awake, please.
You ready? Let's meet our contestant now. Yeah. Her name is Sharon. She's in Bellevue. She was in sales. She's now retired. She spends a lot of her time telling me I'm a jerk. That's right. She loves you, Tom, and hates me. Let's say hello to Sharon joining
us
now.
That's a refreshing change.
It is. Well, you know, we've got a few fans out there. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Well, it's good to know that you listen to the Tom and Curly Show. How many times a day do I really irritate you?
Just when I'm listening, that's all. Maybe, you know, 3 or 4 times a day.
Well, listen, Sharon, here's what I have for you. I've got a guy named Valley who I met on my way to a David Blaine show, and he was selling his CDs right there on the street. And, of course, I feel guilty as a white guy, so I gave him $10. And I said, hey, you know what? You should come by the show sometime and hang out. And then Valley said, yeah, okay. And now here he is. Valley, when people say come by the show and hang out, they don't really mean that. Did you know that?
Hey, I thought people were serious.
So, Sharon, here's what's going to happen. Valley's going to help you, I'm sure, because he listened to the show yesterday, because I said, here's the deal. If we play Cut 2, what's the name of the latest album you dropped?
Valley Scores Again.
Okay. By the way, you did some work with Wiz Khalifa, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I got a song with him right now.
See that?
Hey.
Seattle boy making good. Yeah, Sharon, that's pretty cool. So, 14 years old, you started rapping, and now you're 25, and it's actually starting to take off for you.
And it's starting to take off, man. We got big things planned for the summer.
How about that? And boy, this is the pinnacle, the Tom and Curly Show.
We're here, man. Cairo, Seattle.
It's all downhill from here.
Watch Tom rap. Drop a group. Go ahead, Tom. Drop something down.
Nice
drop
try,
a freestyle.
John.
All right, there you go. A little freestyle. All right, so Sharon, here we go. You ready? If you need help, ask Valley for help on any of these questions. You ready?
Ready.
Here we go. Tone and tenor, everything we establish as a friendship ends right now. Oh, good. The first one is an audio daily double. Hold on. We're a little, got a lot of stuff going on right now. Okay, Sharon, here it comes. Which sound got Mariners Robinson Cano suspended from the team for 80 games? Was it?
Oh, my goodness.
Or, we don't have that one. It'd be the sound, it would sound like this, Tom. Hold on. Ready? Here's one more time. And one more time.
It's a... Wow. This is...
Or hold on, Tom. Or
yes,
this one.
Or.
Was it a baseball hitting his hand? Was it the sound of him peeing in a cup? Or was it a dental drill?
A, B, or C?
I'm going to go with B.
Going with B. Good job. Stay on the line. Stay conscious. Here comes number two. Another Audio Daily Double. Yeah. Packed a lot into the show, as you can tell, Tom. Here we go.
I feel bad for Sharon already.
Sharon, hang on. You ready?
Not to mention Valley.
Valley's like, what the hell am I doing here?
That's right.
I'm not going to sell any.
Paid for this?
I'm not going to sell any CDs on this show. All right. Much like the color dress video, whether it was blue or gold that swept across the internet this week, people were asking to vote whether they heard one sound or another. Which of these three sounds was not included in the viral sensation? You ready?
A.
Here comes A.
Laurel.
Or
B.
Gary.
C.
Valley, who's playing? Who is that? Do you know who that is?
I have no clue.
That's Yanni.
Yanni.
That's Yanni himself.
Good for you.
Sharon, the answer is?
C.
No. Terribly wrong. No. No, people were asked to say whether it's Yanni or Laurel.
Right.
What's that?
Yanni or Laurel.
You should have asked Valley. He didn't know either. All right, moving on to the next one. Ready?
She thought that you were playing.
Oh, she is right. She is right.
Well, she was playing. When you're playing Yanni, she thought that
that's the wrong one. But she got it right. A teenager found guilty of starting a fire at the Columbia Gorge found his sentencing.
Two for two, John.
Yes. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
We are off.
Two for two.
Sharon, we're off the rails.
That's right. For no fault of her own.
No, it's not your fault. I started drinking way too early. A teenager found guilty of starting the Columbia Gorge fire found out his sentencing this week from the judge. The sentence has caused quite an uproar. What was the teen sentenced to, Tom?
A.
And Valley, you can jump in on this one.
Judge says he must make several appearances at farmers markets and Renaissance fairs dressed in a Smokey Bear outfit. The judge added, for those who think I'm going to deal with you lightly, have never worn a heavy bear suit in the summer, or worse, attended a Renaissance fair. That's A. Went a long way for that one, John.
I couldn't stop myself.
B, pay a fine of $37 million. Or C, go to his room without any electronics or dinner for at least 10 years.
Valley, what do you think? Which one, A, B, or C? What did the judge sentence him to?
B.
Oh, look at you. Showing
ding,
off.
Ding, 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 ding.
Sharon, do you concur, Sharon?
Sure.
Good.
I'm backing him up.
All right, here we go. Number four. If you want people to like you more, do this. Do what, Tom?
A. Just ask them for a favor.
Yes.
B. Tell them how pretty they are and that even when you make love to your spouse, you think of them.
John. I wanted you to read that.
And C. Give them an older cat or dog.
Now I'm going to go with A.
Valley, what do you think? A, B, or C on that one?
Can I hear the question one last time?
Yeah, if you want people to like you, do this. Ask them for a favor. Tell them how pretty they are. Even when you're making love to your spouse, you think of them. Or C, give them an older cat or dog.
B.
Valley likes the funny. And Sharon is now 4-4-4.
Sharon, you're going to find yourself going to a Mariners game. Hold on. We just covered this story. What does PDB mean, Tom?
A, a peanut butter donut sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
B, pretty darn big, which President Trump references about his hand size in a late night tweet. or C, pre-departure beverage?
C, pre-departure beverage.
Wow. Valley, do you confer?
Yep, I'm going to buy
it. Yes! Both of you are a double winner. And you can tell Sharon likes me and not you on the show because she's 5-4-5, John.
Okay. All right. Well, Sharon, Valley says congrats. By the way, you didn't need any help, but it was nice to have Valley along with you to be able to help. You're going to find yourself going to a Mariners game coming up this Sunday with a guy that raps you've never heard of before. You get to go on your own. It's,
we're going to enjoy ourselves.
It's not when you see the tickets, you won't. It's Second Chance Mother's Day game coming up on Sunday. The Mariners taking on a formidable foe.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
You'll be there, Sharon. Hey, Sharon, I appreciate the fact that you hate me but still continue to listen to the show.
That's right. That's the key to our success, John.
Well, listen, have yourself a
fantastic.
Oh, you're sweet. Have yourself a great weekend. All right?
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye, Sharon.
And to Valley, continue to have great success. And let me tell you something.
Thank you.
The nice thing is that the reason I bought the CD from you is not because I was feeling guilty. I bought it from you because I thought you were an outstanding individual. I could tell within the first 10 seconds of talking to you.
There we go.
I told you I didn't have any cash and you quickly pulled out that thing on your phone, the square. I was like,
yeah, we accept card.
Well, it works. Continue to stay in touch with me, okay? Let me know about your great success. And the rest
Thank
of the crew in there, you've got yourself a real winner.
Management team.
There's the management team. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back with your letters. Don't go anywhere. Still a chance to write to us at MyNorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973.
Cheer.
Yeah, here we go. This is the Tom and Curly Show. Thanks, everybody, for writing letters. Don't forget, to Doug's Linwood Mazda. Proud to bring you all the letters brought to you by the mailman, who actually, D-Valley, this is a mailman from Chicago, works in Elgin, Illinois, and he wrote this song, and it's very, very popular with our listeners. I'm going to ask you to tell me what you think of it, but here comes the mailman now.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
What do you think? That's hot.
That's a hot mailman.
If you're just joining the show, I'm not even bother explaining why you're joining so late. I don't care. Let's see. Don't forget Teen Tiny Lady, who lives every single day in a pickle jar. She's actually right behind you, D-Valley.
Hello!
Hello, you too. She's going to tell us about the letter of the day. But first, let's get started.
Okay, we're starting off with the fact that we rock, according to our listeners. 206. I pretty much don't agree with Tom about anything, but he does make good jokes every once in a while.
True that.
I enjoyed the clear tote reference. That made me laugh pretty hard.
Yes, good. And Joseph in Puyallup says, you boys crack me up. Sometimes there's absolutely no rhyme or reason to every show, and it works. Not every time. Have a great weekend. By the way, when D-Valley said during the break he wanted to stick around, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Okay. And then you wanted to play your song, which we played for you the other day. We actually played that as a cut at 10:30.
Yep.
And give you a chance to actually introduce your own music. You ready?
There we go. I'm ready.
Here it comes.
This is D-Valley, man. Try and take me. Go check it out. Available on iTunes, Google Play. We popping. YouTube, man. D-Valley. 206 Seattle, we represent Second Life Entertainment. Cheer.
Whoa! You hit the post. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's right.
In the radio business, that's called hitting the post. You talk all the way up to just before the lyrics start. There you go. All right, well done. Okay.
Here we go. Next.
Number 253, Little Kids.
Another one before to get that. That just came in from Larry M.
Okay.
Know-it-all quiz questions? Get a half tang. Okay. Contestants gets a 3.5 tangs.
Well, there we go. At 253 says, Little Kids get many different forms of cancer. Many forms. It's not mostly old people. Okay. Sure that.
206, coming up with a cure for cancer would be an amazing thing, especially for those of us who had a parent die as a child. I wouldn't wish that on anyone, John.
Mm-hmm, I understand that. 206, John, I smoked for 15 years. I wouldn't go back to it. It smells, it's expensive, and oh, it causes heart disease and emphysema. Cancer is only one of the many problems when smoking.
In terms of Bill Gates' remarks about Donald Trump, Daryl Incarnation, The short version of what Bill Gates said regarding President Trump is, the emperor has no clothes.
All right, thank you for that. John, you're kind of right. After skiing with helmets becomes apparently normal, ski injury skyrocketed. Thank you. You could have just left it off if you're right. Wow, we're here already? D-Valley, this is the end of your big career on Cairo Radio.
And now it is hey, time man, it keeps for the going. Letter of the day.
Cairo Radio supporting. Showing
right.
love.
That's right.
Letter of the day comes from Eric in Bothell.
Once made famous by this show.
John, you are a hardworking guy that deserves any penny you earn. I think you overlooked the advantages you had that most of us don't, though.
Mm-hmm.
Your father was able to pay for your college.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you were unable to take advantage of that is a secondary issue.
Yes.
In general, people who grow up in good situations have a distinct advantage over the rest of us.
Sure.
We can't make the playing field level. I'm not vilifying wealth, only recognizing that its benefits are not equally shared and can't be.
Mm-hmm.
This is why taxpayer-financed college will go a long way to leveling the playing field.
I see. Thank you, Eric. All right. That's it. That's all.
That's a wrap.
D-Valley, have a great weekend. That's it.
Thank you. Everybody have a great weekend.
All right. There you are. All right. When do you want to hit AquaQuip? All right.
Go AquaQuip.
Let's have John McLaughlin say goodbye. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Avocado. Bye-bye.